troubled in the past, I simply asked God for focus. I kept a diary nearby just to jot down any sort of random things to do type things so I could keep my focus. Good ideas. And, okay, so what I do is read a chapter, and usually a sentence or a phrase would jump out at me. If not, I'd ask God for a key message. And as I wrote down the message, I personalized it. That is, I'd write down the message as if it was for me. God was speaking to Tim. It was very nice. If you're doing this, insert your name there. I noticed too that more recently, I've been personalizing God in my journaling. That is, I no longer write, you know, God did this or Jesus said that. I write, you did this with a capital Y. You said that. So as I have faith that God is speaking to me through his word and through his spirit, as I'm reading, I can also speak directly to him about what I'm reading and understanding. So it's more like a comfortable conversation rather than sort of a cold academic study. So then I meditate. I guess that's mentally chew over what I've written, what I've read, and deeper understandings unfold. So let me give you an illustration. Recently, because I'm up to Exodus now, I read where God led Moses and the Israelites to the Red Sea. Everything's looking rosy, but then the Egyptian army appears over the hills. And of course, the Israelites get very fearful and complaining. Moses, Moses, why did you bring us here in the desert to die? We had nice comfortable graves back there. I always read the Old Testament speeches with a Jewish Hollywood sort of accent. It just makes it come alive somehow. Anyway, Moses told them, be still and you'll see the glory of God. And during the night, God appeared as a cloud. And that cloud of God's glory was light and encouragement to the Israelites. But to the Egyptians, it was darkness, confusion, dread. They were afraid for their lives. The Israelites were enlightened. The Egyptians were endarkened. Just made that word up. So my surface understanding was that in times of need, we should call on God. Fair enough? Yeah. But when I asked God for revelation, he showed me that while the circumstances were the same for the Israelites and the Egyptians, their perceptions of the situation, their perceptions of God, were totally different. The Israelites found rest in God, an important principle. The Egyptians, without God, perceived only fear and confusion. Same circumstances, same situation. And then deeper again, because I asked God for a personal message for me, for Tim. And the message for that day, and probably forever really, was that he is the calm in the storm. In times of turmoil and stress, if I remember to seek him, to rest in him, my internal and my external reality is transformed to one of triumph and peace, regardless of the situation. I've got another dramatic confession to make. I'm a Bible NERD nerd. These days, I actually get excited about going to read the Bible, and those stunning enlightenments come a lot easier. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Tim. Today, going to be talking on this topic, the READ, R-E-A-D, journaling principle. It's about hearing God speak through his word and by his spirit. Now, I'm just going to give a little bit of teaching, and then we're going to workshop this, where you're going to actually, it's hands-on, you're going to be involved in it, and then we're going to allow a little bit of time for some of your testimonies of God speaking to you through this exercise. Okay, how many relate to Tim's struggle? Is the Bible reading like taking a cold dip? You know, quick in, quick out, okay, I've done it. Maybe like Tim, your first reading of a passage, there's a surface understanding, something that, I know what that's about. You know, in hard times, pray. Maybe in your journey with God, there's times of a lack of revelation, a lack of hearing God speak. Maybe sometimes you hear God well, but the times are inconsistent that you're getting revelation and intimacy with God in this way. Now, if I could give you a practical way to hear God speak, would you be interested? I hope so, because I'm going to keep talking for a while. Okay. As I said, Tim highlighted the fact of the reed journaling principle as part of our Growing to Maturity discipleship course. I've been developing that for about 15 years. And normally, I never want any part of the Growing to Maturity course used in other settings because I want the material to be fresh, I want it to be life transforming. But I realised through this journaling principle it's really something that can just benefit anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I've actually decided that this is one area of the course that I'm prepared to let go on a much wider kind of situation. But keep in mind that the journaling principle or the read journaling principle is something that is brought into the discipleship material in stages. And so I'm taking a bit from a few different stages. There's part of it's about where we have a whole night lesson on hearing God's voice. Later on in the course, we look at how do you become a self-feeding disciple. And even later again, we build on the whole thing where we take people away for a retreat with God weekend. Now, I can't duplicate 3 terms of intensive discipleship to get the same impact. But I will take the risk that if I can give you and introduce to you the principle enough that you can get going with it, that some of you might even dare to do something with it. That's my hope. Okay, R in read stands for read the scriptures. Pretty obvious, pretty simple. So one of the first steps is to decide on a Bible reading plan. And at the end of the service, there is a few summary handouts that has a Bible reading plan where we break up using this kind of principle into scripture readings that within under 2 years you can read right through the Bible and journal right through it. The first thing we do under read the scriptures is to write down the Bible reference. Now, as I explain each point, I'm going to just take one little example out of my time of journaling with God. I decided not to get, you know, some real special one where, you know, like God spoke from heaven, you know. I just wanted a very ordinary, just a typical day to use as an illustration. So on Friday, I read from Numbers 15 to chapter 20. And the next part is to write out in full the main verse or verses that most stand out to you. There's going to be many things in that passage, especially if you're reading 3 or 5 chapters at a time. There'll be lots of material in there. But you're asking God, just like Tim was referring to, God, you know, what do you want me to focus on here? And there'll be normally something, even if it's a boring passage, there'll be something if you relook at it, oh yeah, and you just start writing that down and then see where the journey goes. So for me, it was Numbers 16, 12 to 14. Now this, just to explain the context, this is Korah's rebellion with 250 leaders and they rebel against Moses' leadership. And Moses calls them all to, let's stand before God and see what God says about this. Well, two of the men stayed back in the camp. And so this is the verses that highlighted to me and I wrote down. Verse 12, then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come, because Moses had summoned them. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness? And now you also want to lord it over us. Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you want to treat these men like slaves? Now we'll come back to that, but that was the verse I wrote down. The next part of the acronym READ is the letter E for examine the scriptures. Acts 17:11 says, now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So part of journaling is examining the scriptures on a regular basis. Now, we're going to watch an opening video that we use on a typical Growing to Maturity session. Every week there's a different opening video filmed on a different location where it sets up the theme for that particular week. This particular one I've chosen for today to show you is part of teaching on what's involved in examining the scriptures. So hopefully it all works for us with our helpers up the back. You'll have to do the course, I think. All right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay, I'll break it up in just a summary. E for examine the scriptures, the first thing we look at is observe. As you're just reading through the text of the scripture, it's looking at what is happening and being said in the context of the original hearers. Sometimes referred to in the sense of what's happening back then. So you're just observing, you're reading, just trying to take in, okay, who are the characters in the story, what's going on? You're just observing it. Now, for me, when I read my particular scriptures, I wrote this down. The men in opposition had been in the desert for decades and knew they would die in the desert. In their memories, they forgot the slavery and hardships of Egypt, where they were groaning under the weight of oppression. Now, like a prison sentence with no hope, their perspective on the past and the futures changed. They saw Egypt as their promised land. Do you get that? They were now remembering Egypt as their promised land. Jeff spoke a little bit on this the other day. And not Canaan. They saw Moses as the cruel slave master lording it over the people instead of a deliverer from Pharaoh. Okay, the next part, so that's observing, and I wrote down my observations of that particular part of the passage. The next thing is to look for insight into what are the timeless principles. Sometimes you're looking at a promise. Sometimes you're looking at a theme that's going through and say, okay, what's coming through this theme? What's the principle? What's the warning? What's the example? What's the command? And we're looking for those things that are relevant right through time, not just, you know, how to survive in a desert back then, but what's going on for now. And this is what I wrote. Perspective has amazing significance. We can see God or leaders as evil or see them as deliverers working for our good. And then because I'd already had a copy of Tim's testimony, I added this as well because it was fresh in my mind. Like at the Red Sea, the same cloud is either light to one and darkness to the other. We can see what we are to be thankful for or see what we have to whinge about. We can see the faithfulness of God or see where he appears to be not working. So that was, if you like, my little summary of just some of the insights that were jumping out to me through that whole passage of Scripture. So then the next part is to then apply it. So on the video that you didn't see, we're actually filming at a location with an expansion bridge. And I talked about, you know, one side of the bridge here is the big pylons that support the bridge, and that's to look at back then. What does that mean? The bridge itself, the big expanse of the bridge, is the timeless principle because it's going to bridge between back then to what relevance does it have for me today in the 21st century. And so the final pylon is now. And that's how does it apply? And this is what I wrote down. As for me, do I see what I lack? Now, some of this I'll have to explain because I wasn't planning to use it in my message. I was just journaling. As for me, do I see what I lack? Holes in the statue and focus on my lack, or do I see a God who knows how to fill the holes? And that's going back several months when I was in a stage where God was doing lots of pruning in my life, and I became very aware of areas that I was lacking, that I wasn't yet in a place at a high enough level with God. And someone had a picture for me, and the picture was of a statue full of holes, and I was busy looking at the holes, and God was saying, stop looking at the holes, I can fill the holes. And so that's what I was referring to. And then I wrote this, do I see you, Lord, fighting against my goals or hemming me in so I can fulfill them? Yeah. And again, another personal journey as I reflected over, I guess, this whole year, I felt like God has been hemming me in, and stripping away in so many different areas. And sometimes it feels like, you know, we're not getting to the promises of God. And yet I've realized that if I look with the right perspective, God's actually putting me in a place that's going to fulfill what he's put in my heart. So that's how it was applying to me. And then I wrote, my perspective will change how I think and feel in times of difficulties. Now, up to this point in time, if you're journaling through the scriptures, this could stay at a relatively academic level, and there are many different journaling models around, and most of them are very strong on the academic processing through the scriptures. It's important, studying the scriptures, examining the scriptures. But there's another part that is equally important, and this is the part that's reflected in the letter A of the acronym READ. And A is for approach God boldly in prayer. Approach. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this reminds us to ask God a specific question relating to the reading or your current circumstances. Many times when I get to this part, the reading generates things in my mind that I want to engage with God about. And so sometimes my question I will form will be based out of the reading. Sometimes because of what's happening in my world or my ministry or life, I'll ask the question to do with that. Sometimes I just say, well, God, what question do you want me to ask? And sometimes I'm really surprised at what he prompts me to ask him. Now, one of the challenges at this point is this can be a subjective part to the process. And so it's worth noting, well, how do you know if it's really God speaking or not? There's a few different tests that I think can help. The first one is testing the voice through flow. John 7:38 to 39 says this, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit. One of the things I've noticed over a lifetime is if it's more me trying to heal somebody, it's like I'm working at it. Whereas when it's God's healing flowing through, his healing flows. It's not a human fleshly worked up thing. When it's God speaking, it's not me sitting there and saying, God, I want to know the answer to this, or I need your guidance, and I'm trying to think of what God's meant to tell me. If it's too much out of the brain and too much out of stop start, I'm trying to think what to write, then there's a good chance it's probably just Ken or probably just you. But when you wait on God and there's a flow to what's coming, that's the first test as to, hey, I think that may be God speaking at this point. The second test is there harmony between the Word and the Spirit? I got a reference there to John 14, where Jesus talks about how the Spirit would come and teach us all things and remind us of what Jesus has said. So the Spirit's going to take of the words of the Bible, the words of Jesus, and remind us, bring it back, highlight, emphasize, but also teach us from that and teach directly by his Spirit into our spirit. But there will always be a harmony between them. Thirdly, wise counsel. If you get something very subjective that's more a prophetic nature, it might be one that you need to talk to someone further in the journey of hearing God and in maturity to help you be a second voice in that picture. And time. Many times I will write things down and I go, okay, was that God or was that just me? You know? And over time, God has a way of confirming and showing, yes, this is me. That was me speaking. So there's a few things to help you in this way. So when it came to approaching God boldly in prayer, this is what I wrote down. I write down a specific question, and then I wait on God. Now, I don't always have God speaking directly like that. Sometimes he's already emphasized very clearly from the reading of his word. I've already got it. At other times, there's a waiting. God will answer that question over time. Sometimes he takes us through a journey first. But this is my question. Lord, is there some perspective I have wrong, and am I not seeing correctly? So the first part was more okay, God, examine my heart on this one. You know, this whole thing you're emphasizing is the perspective. Our perspective will change a whole lot of things. So have I got something wrong there? The second one was, is there a perspective you have that you want me to see? Something beyond where I'm at right now, something you just want me to understand of your ways and what you're doing. And the answer I believe God gave related to that. And this is what I wrote down. Revival tarries not because I am holding out on my people, but revival tarries because of what is needed in my people to get ready. And so there was a flow to that. And then as soon as it stopped flowing, I stopped thinking. I don't try and write more. And then I go, was that God? It is part of his perspective. He says he's not slow in keeping his promises in his return, but he's wanting people to come to repentance. Yeah, it marries with God's word. And so over time, you begin to say, yes, I think that was God. Sometimes it's a prophetic word. Sometimes it's more just a clarifying of thoughts as you wait on God and as you write things down. Sometimes it's just you or just me. The next part of approaching God is to perhaps write out a prayer of response to God. And mine was just very simple. Lord, help me see through your eyes to constantly look at situations in life and people from your perspective, not mine. So just that was just a simple prayer of request. The next letter, the letter D, so how are you doing so far? R is for, say it with me, read the scriptures. E is for, examine the scriptures. A is for, approach God boldly in prayer. And D is for, do. Do something. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We have to do something with his leading. So we can respond immediately to God. Example, it might lead you to confess something, to give thanks, to pray, to make a commitment, to declare, to worship. Or your doing could be something that you need to put into action beyond that moment. So you could write down what action steps you could take this week to do. You know, this on Tuesday, I will phone. I will read. I will see so-and-so. I will go. I need to fast about this. I need to get up earlier, whatever it is. And you write out a specific measurable goal to start to put what God has been teaching you into a practical step in your life. Okay, how are we doing so far? All right? Because in a moment, you're going to be doing this. Okay. Actually, my helpers, if they could distribute, you should get two pieces of paper. The first one has a passage of scripture on it, and the second one has a number of questions and room to write. There are a lot of different Bible passages, so you will not have the same as the person sitting next to you. So the first thing to do when we're journaling is to get alone with God and remove the distractions. And Tim's suggestion of having a diary, a bit of paper with you to write down, to dump the stuff you're carrying in your head is great, to bring yourself to a place where you can settle. So in this setting, there's no talking to anyone else. If they're going to keep chatting to you, there's lots of spare chairs, move around, that's fine. So the first thing is we're going to remove the distractions, get alone with God, no talking, then as you read through your particular passage, highlight the key verse or verses that stand out to you, even if it's just marginally above something else. Underline it, circle it, asterisk, whatever you need to do. And then as you read through it, you need to examine the passage. And so under E on the second page, you'll be reminded to observe what's going on, to work out what's the key timeless principle, how does this apply. So we're going to read it, we're going to examine it, and then once you've read through, written down some observations, written down some key principles, etc., then I'll pray now, but when you get to this point, just still yourself before God and approach him in prayer by asking him a specific question to do with that passage. There's a general one in there. If you don't know a specific one, that's fine. You can use that. And then, of course, take time to write down the do part. So the instructions are on your sheet. If you haven't got a piece of paper, put your hand up. One down the front we need. Doreen down the front here, Bree. Okay, a few in the middle here. Okay, let me pray, and then I'll give you 15 minutes to have a go at doing that. Jesus, I thank you that you made a promise that your sheep hear your voice. We lay down our own thoughts, we bind the enemy from interference, and we just invite you to speak through your word and speak via your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll give you 12 minutes actually. Keep it a bit tighter. Go for it. Does anyone need a pen? Okay, have we got any spare pens anywhere? Someone down the back needed a pen as well. Is that sorted? Okay. There's a spare pen with a lady attached. If you just wave to her. Okay. Okay, time. I know 12 minutes can feel quite rushed, and it's also hard to hear God and still yourself if you're feeling pressure under time. I do understand that. But just for the point of the exercise, we'll keep it tight so that you can get home at a reasonable hour. Now, I have for the testimonies a couple of guidelines. Firstly, no pastors or ex-pastors are allowed to get up here to testify. No regulars who testify. Nobody trained in Bible college is allowed to come up here, or no little church leaders. Okay, I don't want anybody saying this is only for the spiritual elite. Okay, I would like three people just very quickly to come up, and the guidelines for testifying is this. You just simply tell the Bible reference, don't read it, don't explain it. Read one. If you've got five timeless principles you've written down, you can read one. And then you can read just your approaching God dialogue, what you asked, your question, and anything you sense God speaking. Okay, three people that would like to come up and share. Remember, none of the normal people are going to be jumping, so you who don't normally come up here, it's probably you. Okay, who's first? Mark, so you've done Bible college, haven't you? No? I'll let you start the ball rolling, but then Leah, you're next. You can come up ready. And then who's the third person? Yes, come up.
All right, so just the observations.
Just the Bible. One. The Bible
passage. Tell them what it was?
Yes.
Okay, it was Hebrews 6.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay. And also, what next?
Something about the timeless principle.
The timeless principle is that what I believe is that the Christian faith is not easy, and you do have to apply some level of diligence to it.
Okay, and your dialogue.
And my what, sorry?
Your dialogue.
My dialogue.
Approaching God.
One thing that jumped out was that God sees you, and that was what jumped out to me. You know, it's so easy to get wound up in circumstances and keep your eyes on the circumstances, but God does see you, and sort of like you're looking at him, even if you can just see him, and he's definitely looking directly at you. Yep. And, yeah.
Good.
That's timely.
Thank you, Mark. All right, Leah, come on over.
If you know me, you know I never do this, so there you go. I fulfill all your criteria. The Bible reading that I had, I don't even know, Ken, I left it up there.
Okay.
It was, Tim? John 15. It was all about that we're already clean, but we can only bear fruit if we remain in him. So my dialogue was, I'm totally accepted. Nothing I can do or not do will change this. However, I need to seek you if I'm to be fruitful. The measure of my seeking you is not the measure... Hang on. Why don't I do this? Okay. The measure of my seeking you is the measure of my fruitfulness. It is not the measure of my acceptance in you as I am already clean. Seeking him does not bring about my brownie points or put me in his good books, but it brings about the fruitfulness. So I need to seek. So my do principle was that if I haven't put God first in that day, I won't have any leisure time like eBay.
Thank you. Well done.
Mine was Psalm 139, which was really funny because somebody gave me a word last week and it was about Psalm 139. So it really struck me. In fact, I barely wrote anything because I just kept on reading it over and over again and I underlined like the whole thing. So... So I actually don't really have too much to say, but just basically what God's been saying to me the past few weeks was just how amazing the goodness of God is and just how amazing he is in the light of all the bad things that have been going on in our lives. You know, it's so easy to get wrapped up in all those things, but I just had this picture one day when I was getting really overwhelmed with all this garbage that was happening, and it was like, you know, I was facing the darkness and behind me was just this great and wonderful God, and I just turned around and I just looked at him and I just forgot about everything that was happening, and it just blew me away. And it was like, you know, how could I see everything that was going on before that? And yeah, so there's just, it's such a good psalm, that one. The couple of things that stood out to me were God just knows my thoughts and my hearts. He sustains me from when before the world began, and that you have me in and behind and before me, and you lay your hand upon me. So I'm interwoven with God. And those were the things, yeah, I think that really stood out to me, that God is just testing me and leading me, but he's so wonderful and he's so big. So, yeah.
Good. Thank you. Awesome stuff. Each of those ones you've heard and your own, it can take it, say if I just maybe use Leah's as an example, where the revelation of, hey, I'm already clean, and then the personalization as she allowed God to speak that to her helped bring absolute truth and clarity between I can be diligent and there's fruitfulness that comes of that, but it's got nothing to do with my worth. And if you know Leah's story, that's a revelation of truth, that's a personalized one for her. In the last example, something like that, and because God speaks not just through one event, but often over time and through other ways, that can lead you to this sense of just praise, this sense of worship, this sense of God you know every part of me, and my past is behind, and if I focus on you and who you are, it's going to change everything. Now, investing 12, 15 minutes like that, is that worth it in a day to regularly and consistently hear God? It's doable for any one of us. And the final thing is just to highlight some, we have some handouts, a summary of the read journaling principle. There's a 40 or something there. The overview of the Bible reading plan. It's also got some stuff on accountability groups. Some people can just do this as a self-discipline and they do fine. That's great. Others of you may want to get together with two or three others and hold each other accountable. And there's some guidelines on that, so it's not demanding too much of your time, but can help you in that process. There's also some information on GTM there, the discipleship course. Matt, wave your hand, Matt. Matt will be leading one of the groups after Easter. We hope to have a few groups going. So if you'd like to know more, you can talk to Matt at the desk as well. So finally, the challenge is, what is the main challenge, encouragement or reminder from God today? And what are you going to do about it? So just write down your answers to those two questions. What is the main challenge, encouragement or reminder from God today? And what are you going to do about it? And I think with that, we'd probably say we're done. God bless you and good morning, although it's afternoon. Good on you.